It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I don't ask anybody's question but yours. You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Disloyal Idiots podcast. Christian Guzman here, joined by Steve Hauer and Mike Ostrowski, as my master plan is continuing to develop into full effect as Syracuse drinks from the Kool-Aid cooler of New Jersey. Syracuse is hiring Camden, New Jersey native and Georgia defensive backs coach Fran Brown as its 31st head coach in program history. Good old emergency podcast for you, as a little behind the scenes look. If you're not watching this live on Twitch or YouTube or Twitter, first of all, where have you been? We are recording this live at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. So an hour after the official release was sent out, an hour before the Syracuse LSU basketball game that's happening at the Dome. So we are literally live reacting to news that matriculated pretty fast starting yesterday morning.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird situation. I know about a week ago, I think, was the first time I saw the name floated around. Mike McAllister tossed out Fran as an option. And then at one point yesterday, the tweet heard around the world from Cinco, Elijah Clark, may or may not have alluded to the fact that that Mr. Brown is now leading the charge for the Orange. Noted Camden native, Elijah Clark. So you can see there's a bit of a connection there.
More than a bit of a connection. He recruited Cinco for Rutgers too, right?
Oh, did he? Okay.
He indeed did.
So you're saying Cinco's staying here this year?
It would seem like that point. To just further the New Jersey Rutgers connections as well, Brown was at Rutgers under Greg Schiano while he was also there with current Syracuse interim head coach Nunzio Campanelli as well. So if John Wildhack wanted someone with Northeast ties, he can get a big check mark on that box, because that is Fran Brown in an absolute nutshell. It's the massive Northeast recruiting ties and just recruiting ties in general. It's the big thing that pops out on his resume. Of course, Georgia is going to be a recruiting powerhouse no matter what, especially in this day and age. But a lot of experts, recruiting experts, have touted Brown as one of the main reasons why Georgia's recruiting classes, especially in recent memory, have been so successful.
And he was good in recruiting even before Georgia, the same 24/7 rankings that have him as number one this year, number eight last year, had him at number 25 as last year in Rutgers, which is damn good for Rutgers. And back when his time at Temple, he churned out in the 2020 NFL draft, so class of 2019, guys that he recruited at Temple, he churned out five guys in the Temple secondary that went to the NFL. And I don't just mean went to the NFL and sat on a practice squad. I mean five guys that went to the NFL and played in the NFL for multiple seasons at Temple. They got their college degrees and college playing time. So, yeah, the aspect of he has plenty of experience at the smaller Northeast schools that don't quite have the resources that Georgia does. So it's not just a hey, he did great at a school anybody would have did great at. He's legit, and I'm extremely excited about this.
And you can see, for those watching on the live stream, you can see the credentials of the draft picks that Brown has worked with in some capacity as an assistant in the college rankings.
Yeah, there's a good number. Sean Bradley, not that one, for all you olds.
The big one here for most people who probably know a name is this one right here that's being highlighted right now, Hassan Reddick.
I hadn't gotten that far through the list in my brain.
That is the big standout name, who may or may not be spearheading an Eagles defense to another Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, that hurt yesterday. Sorry about that. I wanted to forget that game.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, Brown, you know, Mike brought up the Temple connection multiple times, the Rutgers connection. He was at Temple under, what was he? He started under Dez, right? And then Rulli?
Believe so.
I think, yep. Brown joined
Rulli, and then he followed Rulli to Baylor.
Yep. And then when...
Are you sure it's Rule, not Rulli, right? Guys,
probably.
Yeah, increasing.
I just said what he said. It's
an amazing podcast. But either way, he ended up going back to Temple so at Baylor he was the associate head coach as well. When he returned to Temple in the 2019 season, he was also the co-defensive coordinator on that staff. So. Anyone who's seeing just the DB coach, like Georgia DB coach, for one, he's an SEC staff DB coach with some of the, well, what was it? Finalist for the best DB in the nation at this point.
Yep. So yeah, currently they have one that is on the Buckus award list for the best DB in the nation.
Yeah. So
Georgia as a whole allowing about 180 passing yards per game in the SEC. That's insanely good.
Last couple of years. Yeah.
They're kind of on a 29-game winning streak. He wasn't there for all of that, but that's a selling point. Haven't lost a game in the SEC. Yeah.
And just to get facts right, Jim Thorpe Award, best defensive back in college, Malachi Starks, who's on the Georgia Bulldogs, is a finalist for that Jim Thorpe Award. Mm-hmm. And again, let's remember, if you're an assistant coach for a program that has won back-to-back national championships, are probably doing something right.
One would think. I mean, there's a reason that Georgia and Kirby Smart have, you know, brought him in and kept him around for the last couple of years. Him being the number one recruiter in the country is just absolutely insane. He's available to us for all of the recruiting issues we've had, even in our own backyard. So, I mean, that's one of the biggest things from my perspective is setting that pipeline up again. And while there's not much talent in our immediate backyard, Jersey's pretty ripe and he's about as big of an in as we can get there.
Yeah. And for those who are watching on the stream, you can see three quotes from the last three head coaches that Brown has worked under, and Kirby Smart, Matt Rule, and Greg Schiano. So Syracuse have reached out to people to make sure that they have their endorsement. And the endorsements are coming pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those where once Elijah Clark dropped that tweet yesterday, I think everybody went a little crazy down the rabbit hole researching Brown, and every leaf you turned over was like, oh, that's
not yes, everybody. I'm going to ask you, Steve, to pull this up later because you also went berserk. And as we get to the second half of what does this mean for Syracuse, we'll let Steve show what he researched in his time researching Brown yesterday.
I have problems. You want me to pull it up now?
Let's save that for the second half because I still kind of want to talk about Brown, the credentials, and why for Syracuse at least. I'm going to speak for the three of us because I believe the three of us are on alignment. This is one of the better hires they could make based on the names that were floating out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there were a lot of names tossed around that were, I guess, felt to me very much like a retread or beating the same dead horse over and over again. And I'm glad that Syracuse did not go in those directions and went with some fresh blood that Fran's 41, so on the younger side for head coaching. I believe the youngest head coach in the ACC. So I thought I saw that tossed around earlier. But it seems all promising from my end on that.
Yeah, there's really not any negatives that are like overwhelming here. There's unknowns for sure. We don't know what kind of play caller he is because he just hasn't had play calling experience. So ideally you'll get a good OC that could do that for a year or two. You don't know if nationally he'll still be recruiting, not on the level at Georgia, but still getting those guys. Yeah, Christian, not on the level of Georgia, but still getting those guys from the South, from Florida, Georgia, beating out, or at least getting some depth from those bigger schools that have a million 4 and 5 stars and not everybody can play. But overall, it's not at all the direction I thought SU was going to go in, but I'm very pleasantly surprised that they did go this direction because the ceiling on this, I think the ceiling, that's how I should word it. The ceiling on this is much, much higher than a lot of the other names that were tossed around. I'm not saying we're going to get the absolute maximum, but we don't need to in this case.
No, but I think I touched on it on the pod on Sunday. Even if, absolute worst case scenario, absolute best case scenario is Fran for some reason falls in love with Syracuse and stays here. But the likely scenario or the most likely scenario is him, succeeding and then possibly, using SU as a stepping stone. And in all honesty, I said it on Sunday, I don't care because that means he's leaving Syracuse in a significantly better place than when he got here. So if this works out, this is going to be a great, great needle mover for Syracuse.
And I've got right now 24/7's list of Syracuse's commits for the upcoming class of 2024. And obviously with a head coaching change, there is concern that you'll lose some of these commitments to just, because they wanted to play under Babers in the system he promised. And they don't know what Brown is going to come in. But when you look at the connections that is coming, you've got, in terms of the where they're coming from, Syracuse's top-rated recruit, Jamie Tremble, who's rumored to be the Oronde Gadsden replacement. He's from Georgia. I believe, if I remember correctly, his high school that he plays at, Wesleyan, is 20 minutes away from Bobby Dodd Stadium in Atlanta. So there is a lot of connections there in Georgia. Chikari Williams, the quarterback, again, Macon, Georgia, not too far from Atlanta. Also, I know Georgia's in Athens, but Georgia probably recruits all over Georgia, so there's no problem there. Say,
I'm pretty sure all Georgia is.
Yeah.
They did have what was basically an extra home game at GT to close out the year. So
exactly.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And then you go to the New Jersey commits. I mean, Syracuse is building the Millville Mike Trout pipeline. And that's where LaQuint Allen is from. You've got another skill position player, Teron Howie. I hope I'm saying that correct. I believe there was another, Jaden Brown from Don Bosco. Shout out to our favorite New York Giants starting quarterback, and Tommy DeVito, also from Don Bosco.
From West Orange, yeah.
West Orange, literally the town right next to me. So Wayne, two towns away from me. And then another Camden guy from where Cinco and also where Brown is from. So there are a lot, and I mean a lot of recruits who are already going to have some sort of connection inherently with Brown coming in as head coach. And it's going to be it should be at the very least easier in theory for Syracuse to keep some of these recruits, especially since the recruiting class has looked really, really good, better than it has in recent times.
Yeah, it's, I believe, the strongest class we've had in a good long time at this point, right?
Believe so. I would believe so.
But
from
either way,
I understand, yeah. And by proxy, it also gets better when you realize we get two classes that are below us next year when Cal and SMU, I think, are the two that are lower.
Even better. But bringing in Fran, I would assume or hope that sorry, you pulled that tweet or that tweet up and the first response.
The first reply. I realized that. Yes, it wasn't intentional, but it's the way that Twitter is set up. So fine. Close enough.
That threw me off enough that I have no idea where I was.
All right, let's zoom in on Fran Brown's statement to for Syracuse. Fran Brown says, "I'm incredibly proud to be leading Syracuse football at a university with a rich and storied tradition of academic and athletic excellence. Syracuse football has outstanding talent, great facilities, and passionate alumni. The success of the players is my number one priority on and off the field. I want my guys to succeed in life because they played football at Syracuse. My immediate area of focus is building relationships with my current players and putting together an elite staff, while also having fun on the recruiting trail. I'm ready to get back to work and look forward to building something special for our fans." Yeah, definitely saying the right things.
Right. That's a whole lot of coach speak, but it's the right coach speak.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get everything I've read at this point just points in the appropriate direction for me. So I'm kind of, again, from a hire that we had no idea was a possibility more than 24 hours ago, things have, the turns have tabled at this point.
The turns have definitely tabled very, very much so. And I think it's also kind of interesting to talk about, you know, why Syracuse went into what kind of message Syracuse is sending in this direction when they didn't decide to go for the other three guys that were mentioned to be in the running, in Bob Chesney, Dan Mullen, Jason Candle, and even throwing Tony White in there as well. Because while all of those four guys definitely had their perks and seemingly some other qualities that could have made them an attractive option for Syracuse, I think the overarching theme is the recruiting is probably what made Brown stand out the most. And it sends a clear direction for Syracuse, at least, that the way they're going to build this program right now isn't through kind of the Ian McIntyre style of going through the transfer portal. And I think it's going to be, you know, building a strong foundation of getting solid recruits in every single year at the very least. And it shows a signal of intent as well when you've invested so much in a facility and facilities that are reportedly going to make you better, and specialized facilities that, you know, should make the footballing experience a little bit better, and that you can bring in someone who can convince young kids to come to Syracuse.
Okay, my cue, I guess. Yeah, I think we're still figuring out, folks, but yeah, I do think the message that this sends is the right one, in that SU, if there's one thing that Dino, you can argue a lot about what Dino was good and what he wasn't good at. He was not a great recruiter. And if that's the number one issue, if they've identified it as the number one issue and this is how they want to fix it, I think it's a great start, where you're going with someone who has a ton of experience in that specific area. And I think especially he's open to just finding the best talent and then working around that. We don't, it's too early to really guess at like what his philosophy is going to be. We'll find out a little bit of that on Monday, hopefully, when he gets introduced officially. We don't have a time on that yet. As she has said, it'll be sometime on Monday. But yeah, I think that as long as he's able to go out and get talent, he can figure out what to do with talent after he reels him in.
And now I think it's a good time to go towards like kind of the future, since we're building on, you know, what Brown is going to do at Syracuse. And as you mentioned, as he mentioned in his statement, one of the first things he's got to do is not only build connections with the current players that are at Syracuse in order to keep some of those talented guys, but it's also to build an elite staff, which is what he signals as one of the things he has to do. Now, there's plenty of options for Brown to choose from. And you would think that Brown would choose probably some of the options that he's worked with in the past. People that he's familiar with, whether it's during his time at Temple, Rutgers, hell, if he can bring a Georgia assistant or two, that'd be a coup de grace. But there are definitely options out there for Brown to assemble a staff. Maybe he even decides to hold on to some of the current Q staff that is at Syracuse, whether they were hired by Dino or not. So there's options there on how Brown is going to support himself in his first head coaching job. So I know a lot of people are going to be curious about who Brown might or may not bring in. That's what we have Steve for.
Hi. We've got spreadsheets. Because, of course, we have spreadsheets on this podcast. that's how we do on this podcast, is spreadsheets all the time. For some reason, and for boredom over the last 24 hours, when it became kind of close to when it became more than smoke and fire, or smoke and got closer to fire, I decided to throw together a list of all of the assistants that he's worked with since 2013 at Temple. So there's a number of them that number of guys that have gone to the pros, a number of guys that have fallen off the face of the earth, a number of guys that are Georgia, which I just didn't even bother taking notes on because I didn't think a remote chance in hell he was bringing anybody with him.
Yes, Brown is going to bring Will Muschamp to Syracuse,
right.
As a Syracuse DC.
Yeah, you know what? You might as well just, you know, why not? Hell, I didn't even put Kirby Smart in the list as a coach. Every other head coach I listed, it didn't even.
No,
it's not even worth writing.
Not worth it.
Yeah, we're not in the business of bringing head coaches back as assistants.
Yeah, we don't have the Bama role.
No, we do. They just have to be very, very specialized in the thing that they do. See, one wrong, comma, Lockie. Rocky.
Good point. Weird.
I clearly made the wrong kind of reference. I was talking about
literal
the
DC
the Arkansas guy.
Oh, that guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, Syracuse hasn't brought it would be like Syracuse. It would be like Brown hiring Scott Schaefer to be the DC.
I mean, he's open now.
Yeah.
Is he though?
I can't even keep a straight face trying to say.
Exactly.
You know who
can we just acknowledge that, like, Scott Schaefer's like sports reference page is just Syracuse, and then like he just vanishes, and let's keep it that way.
Yeah. So
shout out to Middle Tennessee for making coaches vanish.
After they beat us. God, that was bad.
Yeah.
So yeah. The first.
Who's that guy that you've highlighted on the stream right now?
Nunzio Campilli. Oh wait, no, it's our interim head coach.
Mike, didn't you receive an email from that guy earlier this week?
Oh God, I did not. But about half the Syracuse student body found out that Nunzio is apparently selling his old instruments.
Yeah, old musical instruments, it seems. So,
I guess that was intended for the VPA kids.
Yeah.
But he did work with
the Settner storage closets are really filling up. You got to fill some space there.
I don't get these references. But I do get the fact that he worked with Campanelli in 2020 and 2021 on the Rutgers staff. Definitely a viable option there. Rutgers DC, he might be current DC still, is Joe Harasminiak.
Hey, Steve, your whiteboard's going to
it's going to be right next to Blaise. Now that I can erase that. But basically was DC of Maine, kind of worked through the New England areas, ended up as the DC of Rutgers. I believe he's currently still the DC of Rutgers.
He is still DC of Rutgers, yes.
I don't, you know, no offense to you, Christian, but I would much rather live in Syracuse than Jersey. So
you're talking about the guy that's thinking about moving to Syracuse.
Fair enough. Corey Heatherman, also the linebackers coach at Rutgers, is he was at Maine with Joe H. And, you know, if you grab one, you grab two. Marquise Watson is the D-line coach, I believe, still there or maybe bounced around somewhere, but pretty wide open. He's got a couple special teams guys that he's worked with over the years, Adam Shire and Ed Foley was a tight ends and special teams coach at Temple. Elijah Robinson is the name that screams at you when you look at who he's worked with. He worked with Rule through most of his career and then went to A&M, was the co-DC, is currently the interim head coach. Unfortunately, earlier today, it did come out that A&M is looking to retain him. So no offense to Syracuse, but we're not paying A&M money.
Well, we're not paying Mike Elko's $7 million base salary a year.
No, that's our whole staff. And then some, probably.
But you're telling me that we don't have what Mike Elko was promised, which was $11 million for his entire staff and football operations?
Jesus. Yeah. What would we do with that? Besides find a way to screw it up.
Just make a second basketball-only dome.
No, I was going to say install a loop-de-loop on the roller coaster on top of the dome or something like that.
Make it an actual roller coaster.
Yeah, make
it
an actual roller coaster. That'd be something Syracuse would do. Compete with the state fair.
Just turn the quad into the midway and, yeah, go full-blown.
Yeah.
Seems great. For anyone who is an old like me, there's a name that you would recognize in his past. Offensive line coach for Baylor in 2017 and 2016 with Temple was George DeLeone, the former Paul Pasqualoni disciple and offensive coordinator for Syracuse back in the late 90s, known for the run, pass, punt offense. DeLeone passed last year, so he is not coming back, but interesting tie to Syracuse that he did work with DeLeone back in the day. I think some of the other people this is all rapidly thrown together notes of like, oh, this guy. Rod Carey, who was his head coach at Temple in 2019, is the offensive coordinator at Indiana. I wrote doubt we match that, but you never know. Maybe he doesn't like Indiana.
There's a lot of people who could say that. Sorry, Connor. Don't.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out Homefield Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Noons 23, 10% off your first purchase.
Yep. Rob Smith was the DC of Rutgers in 2020. He ended up, right now he's an analyst with PSU, and by PSU I mean Penn State for those folks who.
Cool. What, not Pittsfield State?
Yeah. Yeah. Piscataway State. Continuing with the Jersey ties. But he's an analyst at Penn State this year, probably looking to get back on the wagon. I don't know how his stint at Rutgers went. The current wide receiver coach at Pitt is Tyquan Underwood, who I believe is another Jersey guy. Actually, anybody who's listed in the Rutgers staff, I noticed overlooking through all of them, Rutgers only hires people from New Jersey. It is the most Jersey thing you could possibly Jersey.
You know what could do with further study? Let's take a look at the that 2021 Rutgers staff.
Yeah.
And let's remember that this is a Rutgers staff that beat Syracuse 19-9 in the Dome that year.
Oh God.
17-7, but same
17-7, but same thing.
Even better?
That was my first game as a student, by the way.
Congratulations, you're as emotionally scarred as I am.
Yes, I am. I got to see Tommy DeVito die on the Dome turf because he got sacked like 6 times that game.
He continues to do that with the Giants.
But now he's
getting now he gets to play Sopranos music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
now he gets to throw to Jalen Hyatt instead of a half invested Taj Harris.
Fair enough. So one half invested receiver to another?
Yeah, close enough.
But yeah, I mean that team, that 2021 Rutgers roster or coaching staff, grab anyone from that, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird, because the other thing is, especially with Georgia, like I'm sure he's got plenty of ties elsewhere. There's, you know, guys who have worked for guys. Kirby Smart's tree is insane. For as weird as Chiano is, his coaching tree is also pretty, you know, robust. There's a lot of guys that have connections to places that he has worked and has coached. So while this is all the people he's directly worked with, there's plenty of other options as well that are viable, you know, pools to pull from. So this is just a start, because why not? I also don't think we're getting the Texas Tech head coach, Joe McGuire, for the record.
What? Really?
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
No, come on. Have some faith. Yep.
So, so yeah, that was my fun time last night.
So if you're looking for a staff, or at least a bumbling of the staff that you could potentially see Brown look at, go back to the YouTube and watch the VOD, Disloyal Idiots on YouTube, and you can take a look and see, you know, what names pop out to you about what Syracuse needs to, what type of staff he might look to build at Syracuse. And what also is going to be interesting is just kind of the systems that he decides to bring and run at Syracuse as well. What we knew from Dina was he was going to run the Baylor air raid offense with tempo. And that's is essentially what he did his first couple of years. I haven't watched any tape at all about what he did at Temple while he was there at DC. So I'm not sure if he is going to run a traditional defense, if he's going to stick with the 3-3-5 that seemingly a lot of Syracuse players like right now. And then obviously the offensive identity is going to be interesting to figure out what he is deciding to do as well. So maybe the plus is that, you know, no matter what, you're probably going to have a dynamic playmaker at tight end like Georgia. So you could probably copy and paste some elements of that on offense. But I think the first thing that is going to be, that I think a lot of Syracuse fans are going to want to figure out pretty quickly, is the systems that he's going to try and implement as head coach, both on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah, and go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Oh no, all you, Mike.
And as far as whether he keeps the 3-3-5 or moves on, again, I think that just has to do with personnel. There are a lot of guys in the portal right now. I hope that some of them, knock knock, Leon Lowry, stick around. But it really depends. Also depends, you know, are Marlo Wax and Justin Barron going to come back for a fifth year, or are they going to test the pro waters? If you're going with a much younger team, then maybe you do want to at least experiment with some other stuff, because a 3-3-5 does rely a ton on positioning and covering a lot of ground, depending on what the opposing offense throws at you. So if you decide to go with a more traditional zone coverage, you know, obviously for Christian's sanity, you still have to press a little bit at the line.
Please. Because
that has worked this year. Please keep doing it.
Maybe play a little less zone as well, please. Please.
Maybe. Again, we will see where we're at. We will see where we are at in terms of what kind of bodies are in the room. Hopefully, a couple of months from now, when spring camp starts up, we'll have a pretty good idea of what the roster looks like, what the depth chart looks like. Maybe we'll get actual depth chart updates. And
maybe
Steve
we'll get
have to
maybe we'll get
to figure out what
maybe we'll get practice transparency in just in general.
Yeah, that's too being able to see more than a half hour of practice, where 20 minutes of it is stretching and such.
Yeah, that'd be nice on the depth chart thing on Mondays, if I didn't have to just guess what I could try and make a make an article out of. That'd be great. Usually it's, oh, well, it's the same thing as last week, or it's what we saw on the field on Saturday. So enjoy.
Or you get the dreaded ORs, which don't play for about a month at a time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a given. Usually if it's the second name listed on an OR line, that's going to be the player that plays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Always.
I guess now we don't know, though. It's a completely brand new world here.
I'm not sure if WildHack's going to institute this, but it's something that the Axe article, when Dino was fired, brought up. We talked a little bit on the pod as well. And just in general, is that because of the lack of transparency around Dino, it never felt like he built the strongest of connections with fans. And it felt like, Mike, you could feel it since you were here around, not on campus, but you were definitely keeping tabs on the media while Campanelle was doing his tour as interim during the final week at Syracuse. There was definitely a refreshing take of transparency, and it definitely felt like we could connect a bit more with the program, and just because we just knew a bit more, and so we could understand why certain things were happening the way they were and not. And just because of that transparency that Campanelle showed and that the player showed in the post game against Wake Forest, it's something that I hope Brown continues as Syracuse head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not asking you to share game planning details or anything like that. We get why you can't share that stuff, but at least be honest a little bit and say, like, yeah, so-and-so actually has a pretty good shot to play, or this is why we made this personnel decision. Like, Nunzio was very transparent about, hey, Jason Beck's the guy that came up with the Thundercat offense. He's the one, so you should be thanking for that. He came right out and said why they weren't using tight ends as pass catching options over the middle. They need the extra blocker. He didn't sugarcoat that. It's not a ton. And like, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, you're kind of stating the obvious sometimes, but because you're the coach, it carries a lot of weight, even just stating the obvious. So please do that. That is all.
And I think that's something that we'll definitely get a chance to see during that media opportunity, that first media opportunity we get to see at Syracuse. I'm really hoping we don't get a close your eyes moment like we did with Dino during his introductory press conference. That that was awkward enough as it was to begin with.
Dino doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
Thankfully. No, mm-hmm. But you could tell that Dino was trying to win over media right there. Brown could do the same thing, but just in a different direction, because if he kind of goes through kind of the same things that Dino did, I don't think Syracuse media is going to like really hype that up that much. That introductory press conference, I think, is going to tell us a lot about what kind of character Syracuse is getting, because we haven't seen Brown that much in front of a mic. There was a couple social media vids that Georgia had released in the past about him mic'd up during practices, and those definitely looked good. But personnel-wise, when he's the main guy, talking up, when he's the main guy who's going to be, asked the hard-hitting questions, it's going to be interesting to see how he responds.
Yeah, I mean, he's, if you're the number one recruiter in the country, you're at least charismatic. So I would think he's going to have a decent press room presence. So I'll be looking forward to that when it happens.
Oh, and also thanks to Mike held on in the chat for putting this out. Yeah, because Syracuse, this comment from our friend Mike held comes from a Syracuse.com report from Chris Carlson, where Syracuse athletic director John Wildhack was talking to Carlson, and the exact quote is, "I don't know where this originated, and it kind of has had a life of its own, but I never met with Dan Mullen. I never talked to him about this job, let alone being on campus and meeting with him. None of that." So there was no indication that Mullen was going to be a Syracuse head coach candidate. For me, thank God. Yeah. It at least shows the signal of intent that they were moving somewhere. They were thinking far different in that approach.
Yeah, that may not have been the exact hire exact thing I was talking about earlier when I said the names tossed around would have been retreads. Yeah.
That would have been a best case he's gone in 3 years because they're good, or worst case he's gone in 3 years because he's going back to ESPN again.
Yeah, I don't know. That whole the original names that got tossed around, like I'm glad that the what came out as the final three were Candle and Brown and Chesney. Just because it shows that Syracuse is more forward thinking on this at present. Which to me means that, I don't want to say getting more serious about football, but getting more serious about football, in that they're taking chances at a place where you need to take chances. I'll take it. Much happier that we're in the situation we are than if it was Dan Mullen that got trotted out, or Al Golden, or any of the other names, even Doug Marrone for that matter, that got trotted out as potential candidates. Oh, actually, there, Mike back at it again. Right on time. Thankful the Al Golden conversation was short-lived. Yeah, I think
if Al Golden actually got hired, I no joke would have announced my resignation and gone back to the, I believe it's Black Shoe Diaries, the Penn State SB Nation site. I'd give them a call, because that's the point of no return. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, that would have been not great.
All right, basketball's tipping off in 15 minutes. This seems like it's good to place as any to kind of wrap up conversations. Guys, let's just go through.
Is that the thing that James talks about?
It's that thing that takes up half the dome for half the year, you know?
Oh, yeah, that thing we had to switch out back in the day when I was at ESF. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which is hilarious, because I started blogging as a Syracuse basketball blogger back in the day.
And now you're a Syracuse soccer blogger.
Yes.
We're also media spread bloggers as well, just so you know.
Oh, 100%.
Excellent choice with the blue cheese for the wings. This is bingo. Money right there. Wings, fries, blue cheese, little mac salad on the side as well.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've always wondered this. Where do they toss the press spread for basketball games?
It's in the same place as the...
Oh, it's just up in the press
box? They're not in the press box. So a little behind the scenes for some of those who aren't aware. What Syracuse does is they use what is, I believe, is the away football locker room as the as the press area for basketball, for all basketball. And that's where they'll put press stuff as well, and the housing for as well.
Nice. I learned something today.
Indeed. So, yeah, and it's, of course, it's a big enough space. So, yeah.
Why not?
Exactly. So, as we wrap this emergency pod, Syracuse has its 31st head coach in program history, Fran Brown, leaving Georgia as his, their defensive backs coach. He will now join Syracuse. Guys, just a quick final thought on where Syracuse now is headed with the hiring of Fran Brown.
You made me think of something right there. When do we know when he's taking the helm, seeing George's 100% in this for the long haul?
I think we'll get some clarity on that Monday press conference. Sure. Because it seems like because of that scheduling of the Monday press conference, he's at least going to be with them for the SEC championship game.
Right.
So, yeah. We'll probably know then if he's taking over full time or not. I would assume Wildhack would like him to take over immediately so that he can at least keep the incoming recruits ahead of early signing day.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Wildhack made the comment of like he was at least mindful of the transfer window officially opening December 4th. So that's what's Monday's kind of that.
Is it as simple as great? You're the Syracuse head coach. Congratulations! Now make a call to a quarterback in the portal right now.
Dom's not here. Otherwise, I would mention a very specific name. That's not going to happen. But
no, it's not going to happen. What's going to happen is that quarterback is going to actually join Justin Barron in UConn.
No. With the hire of a DB first coach, I'm wondering. Barron's probably right near the top of the list, near the Aranda Getson on the list to call and say, "Hey, you want to hang out for another year?"
Barron did make third team All ACC, or was it honorable mention? I forget. Kind of lost on the shuffle. All ACC awards were announced today. Quinn Allen second team, Marlo Ack second team, Jack Stonehouse third team. Quinn Allen was also named honorable mention for all-purpose yards. Chris Bleich, honorable mention. And Justin Barron, honorable mention.
Chris Bleich, honorable... What?
I mentioned.
Yeah, they looked at the three random, like, ACC linemen of the weeks he got. For the gist.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
So, maybe... Cool. So, looks like that will be Mike... What do you think? Let's have you wrap this up. Your final thoughts on Fran Brown becoming the next Syracuse football head coach?
Kind of said it before, but very excited. I like the direction they went. I think there's a lot of potential here, but at the same time, I also think the program doesn't have to bottom out before he has to rebuild it. I think he can come in right away, be in bowl contention again next year with a relatively easy schedule, as long as he keeps just some of the leaders around from this year's team. Like you said, call Justin, call Marlo, hopefully. Although it wouldn't surprise me if he goes pro, but make the call.
Yeah, you got to
go from there.
You at least say hi.
Yes, yeah, so this definitely doesn't feel like a full program reset. He definitely has the resume to at least keep what Dino had going. And he seems like a guy who could take advantage of that, like, 2024 schedule to, at the very least, make a bowl in his first year at the helm of Syracuse.
And you know what? Very specific strategy. I don't know if it's what he's going to do, but if you've got guys that really have like only a year or two left of eligibility, they want to get some playing time right away. Hey, we've got openings and a paper stop schedule. Why don't you come to the dome for a little while?
It could definitely be an option. So, yeah. I think the three of us are all very, very excited, especially now that, you know, a seemingly almost out of nowhere hire was made for Syracuse, because I don't think anyone thought a Georgia assistant of any kind would be eligible or even willing to take the Syracuse job. But it seems like Syracuse has found a very, very good successor and at least a good stepping stone to lead their program into the wild, wild west of playing California, Stanford, and SMU all the time now. So good luck with that as well.
Yeah, almost makes you want to apply to grad school up here. Almost.
Almost. That's it for the Disloyal Idiots podcast here on the Fans First Sports Network. Steve, thank you as always for hopping on. Mike, thank you as always for hopping on when our guy on the milk carton is nowhere else to be found. Andy, come back. Your parents are calling for you. we kid. Andy's a busy guy. So whenever we get this, we'll probably hear his thoughts this weekend, as usual. The Disloyal Idiots podcast streams live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search Disloyal Idiots. We're usually live Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always catch the VODs on demand on our YouTube page. Just search up Disloyal Idiots. And if you're listening on your podcast platform of choice, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment so that we can trick the AI algorithm and our computer overlords into expanding the Ottoman Empire. It's a good start for Syracuse football. I think it was a little bit of hesitation of who would Syracuse would get coming out of this head coaching search. But now that a guy has been named and a lot of guys that at least us in the News Magician Slack agree is a good hire, I think we're all confident that the direction of the program is looking upwards.
100%.
And with that, we leave you with a go Orange. But it's spelled G-A-G-E-A-U-X. Go Orange.
Go Orange.
He's not from Louisiana.
But what's happening in 15 minutes, Mike?
That's why you really don't say that. Go Orange.
Go Orange, everyone.